There was a recitation that I used to do about Silent Night, and it concerned itself with World War I on the Western Front. And during kind of a brief silence from the guns and battles and the blood and everything, on the German side, they began singing in German, Silent Night. And then on the Allied side, they began singing in English, Silent Night. And whenever the dawn came, each one kind of held up a white flag, and they met in the middle of no man's land. And so they were able to kind of find out that, hey, those Germans are human after all. And they felt the same way about the English. And I thought, whenever that I used to read that, how because of a child, peace reigned that day. Commanders became kind of worried that peace might break out and that nobody would want to go back to the trenches and everything. But it was an example of what one child born in a manger sent by God can do. And the greatest is peace in the heart. We ask that you pray for us. As we sing this, we pray that God will be glorified and God will be honored in everything that we do today.
Prophets claimed he would save the world, born into a virgin girl, dirty bond, the promised land. He was son of God and son of man. She looked at him and called him Jesus. Their flocks nearby, when an angel appeared in the sky, told them not to be afraid. The Messiah was born that day. Ain't a palace made of gold, but you'll find him in a when they did. Bowed before him. There in the hills of Bethlehem, the one had any they knew the child. Filled every word that the prophet said. across a bed with him. No one had any room for him. They knew this child was a real life changer. Lying there in the inside.
Thank you for your patience on that. There is always a special feeling about this time of the year. You just sometimes cannot put your finger on it. And I think as time has gone on, I come to appreciate that even more. And I find out even more about God sending His Son into the world. When I was a kid, I just thought of it flippantly because it was the thing that we were supposed to think and supposed to say. But then as I began to realize what had happened and what happened that day, it began to really, really grow more and more within me. We're glad to be here today. We're thankful for each and every one who have found that in their hearts and in their busy schedules. Appreciate every song, every poem, everything that's been done. I appreciate the efforts that have gone into the decorations and everything to remind us what this day and what this is all about. And I think today that we want to look at the second chapter of the book of Luke. And if you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn there with us to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start with the 8th verse. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start with the 8th verse. And as we look at this verse of Scripture, we find that there were three Gospels that were written concerning His coming into the world and being born. Born of a virgin. Born, the Bible says, in one place under the law to redeem us that were under the law. And we find that each one of these Gospels presented from a different perspective. John is probably about the one that is about the most deep to me. It's my favorite in the first chapter because it talks about the depth of the incarnation, of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, beholding the very, very presence of God and beholding the love of God and knowing that here it starts on the road to Calvary. That it's one thing to think about His coming into the world, but to think the reason why that He came, that He might redeem us from sin. And so starting with the 8th verse, we find these words, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. And you're going to find fear not throughout the Bible approximately about 365 times. And here from the very throne room of God, He sends a message unto them and unto us today to fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass that as the angels were gone away into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. If correctly read, this includes the 8th down through the 15th and 17th verses of Scripture found in the second chapter of the book of Luke. Every time that we read this, we think about the 68th Psalm, the 11th verse, that tells us today that God gave the word. But great was the company, great was the multitude of them that published it, that proclaimed it, that exalted it, and we're still doing that today. Christ has come. The Messiah has come. And even more we can add to the story, because not only has the Messiah come, but he has paid the sin debt for each and every one of us, that will not suffer for what Adam did, but we are accountable unto God for what he has done in sending a Savior into the world to save us. It becomes personal. It becomes right down to the fact that it's between us and between God now that he has sent a Messiah into the world. Last year, and I think the year before last, we talked about the manger. And someone will say today, well, you know, that's always one of the icons of Christmas is the manger that the baby Jesus laid in. And I'm so thankful for us displaying this here today. And you know, in that manger, we find that the mother of Jesus, Mary, took swaddling clothes. And you know, whenever that we got to digging into that, we found out that swaddling clothes were oftentimes the worn out garments of the priests that served in the temple, because Bethlehem was in very close proximity to Jerusalem, where that they would do sacrifice. And these sheep that were kept by the shepherds were very special type of sheep. These were the sheep that were used in the sacrifices in the temple. And these garments that would cuddle a lamb that was born was actually from the worn out garments of the priests. They would cuddle a lamb within it to keep him from bumping into the rocks within the manger that they were laid in, that they were kept, so that there would be no blemish. And so Mary took a priest's garment and wrapped Jesus within it, so that there would be no one that could say, well, he's got a blemish upon him. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. I believe in every way. He was born, first of all, of a virgin. Second of all, he had no sin within him. But yet he was 100% God and 100% man. And there never was anything like this. Never had this ever occurred before. In fact, mathematicians will say, well, you can't have 100% of one and 100% of another. God can do anything he wants to. He can even transcend our understanding, our knowledge, our perception of things today. But what we want to look at this morning is the messengers and the message that they brought. And the first ones that brought the message were the angels, the host of heaven. They had already visited earth. They had already come unto those that would be involved in this great event of God sending his son into the world. We find that Gabriel, and he spoke this, and he said, I am Gabriel, I am the one. When he appeared unto Zacharias, he said, I am Gabriel, the one who stands in the presence of Almighty God. And I bring the message, I bring the tidings, I bring the news unto this low ground of sin and sorrow. And it was there that he revealed unto Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, that John would be born and that through John, John would herald the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ whenever he would say on one occasion on the shores of Jordan, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." You see the connection there? Jesus is the Son of God, but he's also the Lamb of God. He is that perfect sacrifice that would be needed to redeem your soul and my soul and the souls of those that would hear. He would later, Gabriel, that is, he would appear unto a young virgin girl by the name of Mary. Now, we don't know how old that Mary was at the time. There's a lot of speculation. She might have been about 15 or 16 years old. We don't know. But at that time, she was espoused unto Joseph. And the ironic thing about it is, Joseph was of the house of David, the lineage of David. Do you want to know something even more ironic and wonderful? So is Mary. And through Nathan, the lineage of Mary was all the way down to the birth of Christ. So we could say that Christ was of the lineage of David. And he would sit upon David's throne. And he will sit upon David's throne someday whenever that he comes back in clouds of glory. These angels had a specific message that they were to bring unto earth. And someone will say, well, why did he appear unto shepherds? Well, that's God's business. God can appear unto anyone he wants to. God can take his word to all those that are in need of hearing it. And I think these Levitical shepherds that were keeping these lambs were going to be the first ones that one day their job would be finished. It would be over with as far as keeping lambs for the sacrifice. Because the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, would pay the ultimate price to redeem us from sin. And so they appeared unto the shepherds. The Bible tells us in the second chapter of the book of Luke. And you know, at that time, there had always been kind of the mystery hidden within the prophecies. We find over in places like Isaiah 7 and 14 that, "Behold, I give you a sign, King Ahaz," speaking to the king of Judah, "I will give you a sign. I ask of you a sign, you give me none, but let me give you a sign, and unto the household of Judah, that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." That is, God is with us. When I was a kid, there was a friend of mine that his father had served in the Second World War, and he had collected a lot of artifacts of things that he had taken off of the battlefield. And one of the things that really impressed me the most, it was a buckle that was written in German, and it said, "Gott mit uns," that is, God with us. Emmanuel means the same thing. God has come to dwell among us in flesh, and we'll behold his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Son of God, full of grace and truth. They were sent, my friend, to unveil the mystery of all ages, the mystery that God would be incarnate in the flesh. And in 1 Timothy, in the second chapter, I believe it is, and in the 7th verse, it talks about great is the mystery of godliness. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, was incarnate in flesh. That's the first part of that verse, those verses of Scripture. He would come and he would be incarnate. We would behold the glory of God as of the only begotten of the Son of God, full of grace and truth. And I want to tell you something today. When you by faith look towards Christ Jesus, my friend, you're seeing God face to face. I love that song. Mark Lowry sometimes makes my side split, some of the stories that he tells. But he wrote a song, my friend, that is just as true as can be and just as deep as can be, called Mary, Did You Know? Did Mary realize the fullness when she realized she was going to bear the very Son of God? Did she realize what was going to take place? Did she realize that, as one prophet told her, that her heart would be pierced because of what Christ would come for? Did she realize? Did she know? I have no idea. But I do know this, like that song, whenever that she would bow over Jesus as a baby, and she would kiss him and cuddle him and hold him and sing to him and nurse him and everything, whenever that she would kiss his face, think about it today, she was kissing the face of God, God incarnate. And that's what these angels came to declare unto them today, that Christ had come and that God was incarnate in the flesh, the promise of all ages, the mystery that had been kept hid now was revealed. And my friend, heaven broke open with the news, and heaven touched earth that night. I believe, my friend, it was heaven upon earth whenever that those angels came unto the shepherds and told them that the Messiah had been born. I believe that there was such a glory that no wonder that the angels had to reassure those shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy." Good tidings, I might add, of great joy. What tidings is that? It's the tidings of the gospel. The gospel, Paul said in one place, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. It's the good news unto us today, that our sins can be forgiven, that we can be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, that we can be given that hope of an eternal home with Him through His sacrifice and through Him today. It broke open, and I want you to know that there was a multitude. How many angels? The Judean prophets and rabbis and so on and so forth used to debate, how many angels can you balance on the head of a pin? That sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? But oh, they get so hung up on that. Well, you know, there, you know, we got to think about how big an angel is, and then we got to think about this, and then we got to think, would an angel come? But no, if you read over in the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation, whenever that praise was given unto the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, the Bible says that there was praise given unto Him. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, Elkton Church, I hope you take this message, and I hope that as you go out into your everyday life, that you take the message, worthy is the Lamb to receive all honor, all praise, and all glory. And whenever that they did that in the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation, John recorded that there were thousands and ten thousands and ten thousands times ten thousands of angels. I believe that it filled the universe. I believe, my friend, it will fill the night. And that's the light today that comes into the world. Someone will say, well, you know, part of their message doesn't even count because there's no peace on earth. Well, there have always been conflicts, and there will be conflicts until the day of Armageddon. But my friend, I want you to know, yes, there is peace on earth. Yes, there's peace through Christ Jesus. Jesus said in one place, He said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you." And when He resurrected, and I know that I'm going all over the place with this because it's too great. I like that song that they sing in some of the black churches that says, "It's so wide you can't get around it. It's so high you can't get over it. It's so deep you cannot get down into it. You got to come through the door." And that door is Christ Jesus. Praise be unto God. Today I lift up a crucified Savior before a lost and dying world. They gave honor and glory unto Him. Heaven broke open. Praise that night. And my friend, I want you to know, shepherds realized being taught up in the Levitical way, they realize this is the Messiah that has come, and these angels have come from the throne of God to tell us all about it. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now it's concerning angels dealing with mankind. Angels, my friend, are basically messengers. That's all that they are, and we don't know exactly what they look like, but we know that they had a glory about them because they always carried the message of God. We find that the Bible tells us over in Daniel chapter 9 that as Daniel was praying and as he was lamenting and as he was repenting, Gabriel appeared unto him and began to reveal what was going to take place unto the end time. And in those two verses of scriptures that we find in the 20th and 23rd verses in Daniel chapter 9, you're going to find a term used that was used no other place: Messiah, Deliverer, Savior, used no other place. I want to tell you that the Messiah has come. Daniel, this was revealed to him by one of the angels that was sent from glory to tell him of what the end time would be. We find that the Bible tells us that angels warn, they advise, they are full of wisdom, and they impart that wisdom unto mankind. We find over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in the 7th verse, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God, a mystery from the hidden wisdom." Now, I can't go into all that means because some of it I don't understand. But my friend, that hidden mystery that was in eternal glory and past eternity to redeem man is now able, we are able to proclaim it, and it is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the remedy for sin. I want to tell you something today. If you're not saved by the grace of God, if you've not had an experience, and I've had people tell me, you know, even Buddhists that would tell me, well, I've had an experience, you know, does that make me a child of God, or somebody that is Hare Krishna, you know, does that make me because I've had an experience with Him? No, it takes a born-again experience with Christ Jesus as Savior. And the Bible tells us over one place, whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It is through Him and in Him alone that all men are brought, my friend, into the family of God. But Paul says we speak this wisdom of God. He said a mystery, even the hidden mystery which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world known, because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And I believe with all my heart, when they crucified Him in ignorance, because He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But my friend, we find that the angels would make their announcement, as we said before, unto Mary, "Fear not, Mary, because that you are bearing within you is the very Son of God." Went unto Joseph, because Joseph was espoused unto Mary. And finding out that Mary was with child raised the suspicions and the ire of Joseph, and she was going to get a lot of flack, if you will, from the community, because no one had ever heard of a virgin birth before. But my friend, I want you to know she was bearing the very Son of God. The Bible says that Gabriel told her when she asked the question, "How can these things be?" And you know, if you try to look at it from a scientific standpoint of view, it's hard to figure out. How does this happen? But you've got to figure it out by faith, not by the head, but by the heart and in faith today. And the angel said unto Mary, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and that holy thing that thou shalt conceive is the very Son of God." My friend, no wonder today. It's such a mystery, but we've got to accept it and believe it and embrace it, that it's the truth, because, my friend, it comes from God. God sends His angels. And do you think today that angels still visit us? I think they do. I think that they send themselves. The Bible, they're sent. Bible tells us over in Hebrews, they're sent to minister unto those who shall be heirs of salvation. That's after salvation comes. So they must be among us. Now, I don't know. I can't point out one and say, this is an angel. That's an angel. No, he's not an angel. This one over here is an angel. I can't do that. But I do know, and I could give you from personal experience. Angels do exist. And they're still sent among us. And they're sent from comfort, for comfort. They're sent for wisdom. They're sent to bear witness unto the truth that comes from God. Many years ago, I got to tell this. Many years ago, we had a son that was born, and he had complications. I could go into all the medical details about it for you, but he had some very serious conditions, very serious problems. And they were going to have to airvac him on a Learjet to St. Louis where that they could take care of this kind of cardiac problem. I got to touch him for the last time. Shirley wasn't able to. She was in recovery. They were about to send him out. Somebody came down with a wheelchair. I thought it was a nurse. Said, you need to go and see your son before he goes. And Shirley kind of declined. And this little, I don't know, lady that I thought was a lady said, no, you need to go now. And so she got Shirley in the wheelchair, and Shirley got to go up before that he was airvac'd out. God saw fit to take him home. And I can accept that. And I know that I'll see him someday. I want to tell you something. David said in one place, he said, he shall not come back to me, but I shall go to him, and I know that I'll go to him, and I know that Shirley will, and all of our family. We wanted to go back and thank her because that was a blessing to us. What this did. And you might say, well, what did she look like? Well, I don't know. I thought maybe she was a candy striper. They don't do that nowadays. But I thought she was a candy striper. She had on a white outfit. We wanted to go back and thank her. And so we tried to go to the nursing department and everybody, all that was involved that day, they remembered the situation. But we said we wanted to especially thank that young lady who made Shirley go in the wheelchair to see Jonathan before he left. And they said, well, what did she look like? Well, she looked like this. Well, we don't have anybody who works here that looks like that. Said, are you sure she was on duty for this date, this date, this date, this date? Nope. No one like that. We searched over the hospital. We searched, thought maybe she was a volunteer. But you know the conclusion that we came to? And I'm not saying that we're better than anyone else, but God knows His business. And He knows to do what He does at the right time. God is always there at the right time. We came to the conclusion it wasn't a nurse. that it wasn't a doctor, that it wasn't one of the personnel. And, you know, for a long time, we kind of kept that to ourselves because we thought people would think we're crazy or we think that we're better than anyone else. But I want to tell you something. If it's who I think she was, we'll see her again someday. And I don't say that to puff us up or anything, but I want to tell you this thing with God is real today. It's not imagination. I want you to know that they walk among us. They even gave directions unto Joseph, recorded over in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13 and in the 19th through the 20th verse of Scripture. Whenever that Herod was seeking to destroy the Christ child, they came unto him and said, Joseph, get Mary, your baby, and you flee over into Egypt and you stay there until that I tell you to come back. And so he did, and they got safe passage. I know I'm getting way off kilter, way off course, but I want to tell you something. The most important message that an angel can bring is the message that a Messiah has been born. And my friend, don't get hung up on the way that they did it and this and that and the other, but my friend, the fact the message came. And my friend, Christ was declared. And I just want to say this, there was gospel in what Gabriel said. Gabriel said that I bring you good tidings. That is the gospel. I bring the gospel unto you. Man has been in darkness. Man has been bound in sin. He's a slave unto sin. But I've got good news for you. That's going to end. Because there's going to be a Messiah that will come, that will pay the price, that will break the bonds of sin. And I bring you great joy. That great joy is that it's not unto a few people. It's not unto a few chosen over here, a few elect over here. But it's unto all. It's unto whomsoever will, let him come. He didn't say in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever was elect would go to heaven. He said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's unto whomsoever will, let him come. Whomsoever will, come to Bethlehem and see for yourself. A Messiah has been born. And I pray that throughout this time of the year that you will go to Bethlehem. And you might say, well, preacher, you know very well that it's occupied by the Palestinian Authority, but that doesn't keep you from going. You can go in the Spirit. You can go reading the Word. You can go and you can see for yourself. You can witness it for yourself. The Messiah has come and not another. This is the message of the angels today. This is the gospel. And do you know what we should do with it? Well, yes, we celebrate it. Yes, we think within ourselves what a great gift that salvation is. But do you know what the shepherds did after? They went and they told everywhere they went what they had seen and what they had beheld. They were the first evangelists, if you will, to tell about the coming. And you know that message is going on today. From heart to heart, from pulpit to pulpit, from song to song, from scripture to scripture. It's salvation unto all. Whomsoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Whomsoever will is burdened. Whomsoever will is lost. Whomsoever will that is troubled down in the heart and in the soul. Come to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He makes it personal today. Salvation is a personal thing. They took it personal whenever that they heard the news.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Think about it today. The angels directed it to every one of those shepherds. Now, I don't know how many that they were, but it was to each one of them. And whenever that the gospel came unto you, and you knew that you needed a Savior, that you needed to be saved, my friend, it was directed unto you today. We don't worship angels. In fact, whenever that John saw the throne room in the book of the Revelation, before the angel, he fell down and began to worship him. The angel said, "No, don't do that. You worship God. I'm just a messenger. I'm just carrying the message. I'm just bringing the tidings unto you of what will happen and what will go." And I want to tell you something today. This Savior is sufficient enough for all things, not just salvation, and that's a very important part of it, but my friend, our everyday life. Whenever we're troubled, when we're faced with sickness, when we're faced with uncertainty, whenever that we are faced with strifes and we're faced with problems and we're faced with, oh my goodness, he beat me into the parking place in Walmart. You know, don't take his name in vain because of that. Just say, praise God, maybe I would have gotten run over if I got that parking place. I kind of look at it that way. Or if somebody passes me and I don't like the way they did it, well, Lord, they're a soul. It's bound for somewhere. Lord, bless them. But my friend, every care, every concern, your children, your grandchildren, all of it today, your health, your sicknesses, things like that, he is concerned with. That's why that he came. That's why, my friend, that we celebrate his birth and we celebrate the message today. Don't let the message die. Don't let the message go by the wayside. Don't get enamored with who sent the message. I'm not criticizing. You want to put an angel on a tree, go ahead and do it. I just tell you this much. Whenever the postman comes, I'm not enamored with him. I'm enamored with the message he's bringing me in the envelope. Now, he may look good or whatever, but at any rate, I'm concerned about the message. And I'm concerned about the message of the gospel going forth. Because now it's been handed down to us from angels to go into all the world, our world, your world, wherever it might be, TNT or the triangle or wherever. Take that message with you. Take that message that he has come. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. And on him shall be the government, the government. One of these days he's going to come again. He's not going to come as a baby. He's not going to come as some people speculate. But he's going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. I have no enmity about anything today. But I want to tell you, whenever that he ascends that throne in his coming, I'm going to say, thank you, King Jesus, for redeeming me from sin. I'm glad that you have the scepter. I'm glad that you rule. I'm glad that you overall. I'm glad that you frame these worlds according to your words. As we close our remarks today, God sent him forth. God gave the word. And great was the company of them that published it today. So take it into the world. Take it to whomever God would send you. And proclaim it unto them. And let them know that there's a Savior who can save them.